The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you know, in the evangelical world, for years, really, you want to sell out a conference, you want to get a bunch of people on a live stream, then you start talking about biblical prophecy, right? You start going down the road of biblical prophecy because we all want to know what's going to happen and when, and we're trying to pay attention to the times, and could Jesus come back any day now? Which, depending on your eschatology, the answer to that could be yes, any day, Steve. It could be today. And other people's eschatology would say, no, it actually can't be today because Jesus isn't coming back before the tribulation. And so you go down all these roads, and then there's the 144,000. Who's going to be sealed? The 144,000. Who are the two witnesses? What's up with that? What's the deal with the beast with 10 horns and 7 heads and the mark of the beast and the number of the beast and 666 and all that stuff? And so we tend to focus on a sequence of events as if God has given us a little crystal ball into the future, which is true to a certain extent. But is that really all he wanted to do with the book of Revelation, was to give you a little timeline to look forward to in the future? Or there are some other things that we can actually pull into the present, especially with what we've been going on, going through the last couple of years, be it the beginning of the COVID crisis, and then we had the George Floyd situation in the summer, BLM, and the unrest and the rioting, and then the election. And it's just been, and now Biden and the Biden administration and the economy and Russia and Ukraine and all these things going on. A lot of instability and a lot of concern. And I think if we're all honest, that we struggle a little bit when we look at the state of the nation or the state of the world. And we sit there and go, ah, this doesn't look so good. But hey, in the end, and eventually, it's all going to work out. And I read the end of the book, and at the end of the book, we win. And so we dance a little jig, and we do our little victory dance in the end zone. And then that's it. But maybe the book of Revelation has more for us today, right here, right now, than perhaps what you are used to in the past. Dr. Greg Stikes is with us today on Theology Thursday, one of the professors at BJU Seminary. And Greg, great to have you back on the show. And you were preaching on Revelation back in March of 2020, just when everything was kind of hitting the fan and churches are getting shut down. Yep. And you expected one thing, but got another. It's great to have you on. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much. And thanks for being quickly, as we couldn't do the video today, but we're live five by five on the phone. So we're fine. No problems there.
It might be better without having to see my face.
No, I love visual cues in that conversation. Plus, we'll miss being able to talk to you on the breaks for Facebook and YouTube Live. But what was kind of your intent? The timing is interesting. Of course, you start to preach on Revelation back in March of 2020. What were you up to? And then what did God do?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, I had just finished a whole series on Colossians. I mean, literally the week before I'd finished the last sermon as planned, and COVID hit, and they were telling us not to meet publicly, so I was going to be preaching to empty pews, and I was like, what's a brief sermon series that I can repeat from years ago that would sort of carry us over the next few weeks? Obviously, this COVID-19 thing would be over really soon, you know?
Sure.
And I had put together a series of sermons, like a lot of pastors do, on the seven churches of Revelation, because I had just traveled through Turkey, and we had visited every site, you know, and all that. And so I went back and repeated that series. But and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, is the Lord going to come back right away? They talk about vaccines. Is that going to be the mark of the beast? And,
right.
You know, so I was thinking, you know, it doesn't take a lot for affluent Westerners to think the apocalypse has come. And so I thought, you know, that'd be perfect. Everybody's thinking about Revelation anyway. And what was really interesting is that, you know, when you're going through crises, Scripture means so much more in its application than what you were expecting. And with this whole backdrop going on, some of the things you just mentioned a few moments ago have come up since, but you know, the whole George Floyd thing went down that summer. the world seemed to be in unrest. It was just a surreal time. And I also read somewhere that you don't really understand the book of Revelation unless you read it as a person who actually may die as a martyr. And we started just reading through it with the intention that the Lord intended of giving hope and comfort to his people. And it just came alive in an amazing way. And when I finished the seven churches, I preached a series on the description of the risen Christ and then the promise for the overcomers. And people started saying, well, are we going to do the whole book? And I had never intended to, but the Lord kept leading. And finally I said, well, okay, we'll just do it. So we picked up with chapter four and we've just been going ever since. And it seems like I've been preaching really slow because we've taken a few breaks here and there, but we just finished chapter 17.
Wow.
So we're kind of getting toward the home stretch here. And I just the other day thought, you know what, I'm going to start reflecting on some things we've learned in the big picture over the course of a couple of years of being immersed in the text.
Yeah, it's such a great lead into our to our conversation. And by the way, this is the first time we've done this on Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. We're actually going to do a two-part series here. We're going to do the first part, obviously, today, Surprised by Assurance, A Journey Through the Book of Revelation, part one, which we're going to be talking about vindication. And I'm going to get into that word here in a second. And then next week, we're going to do part two. So make sure you come back around or catch the Facebook or YouTube live on the Steve Noble page, or you can grab the podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms. And then next week, Assured by Divine Control. But let's start with this notion of vindication, which I think we have to be careful. I have to be careful with this one, Greg, because vindication to me, I'm like, okay, finally, we're going to stick our thumb in the eye of the world and Jesus comes back and everybody's going to know it's him and they're all going to get knocked down and I'm finally going to get my day in the sun and watching all those that oppose Christ. So to me, sometimes vindication actually kind of has a negative connotation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense because I remember when I first brought up this term as the theme of Revelation, I had to explain we're not talking about vengeance, which is the Lord's. We're not talking about, you know, if you're a believer in Christ, you're humbled by the fact that God actually took you as his child. But the idea is the vindication of truth. Not only are God's believers vindicated, but they're only vindicated because the Lord himself has a day of vindication. His resurrection was a vindication. And the only reason we are vindicated, in other words, shown to be in the right. And the hope that we have is the right hope. It's because of what the Lord has done, and we're in him, so we're vindicated in him.
So powerful. Greg, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Dr. Greg Stikes from BJU Seminary. Assured by divine vindication, to be vindicated means you are shown to be right, and won't that be a nice day? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. And yes, worthy is the Lamb, and we're talking about the prominent role of the Lamb in the book of Revelation and what that means for all of us. Not chronology, if you're looking in the book of Revelation today, as we talk about it today and next week, part two. Surprised by Assurance, A Journey Through the Book of Revelation. I put the link up on Facebook Live for all of you. I put it on Facebook earlier today. From today's blog post, which our friends at BJU Seminary are always so kind to write a blog that actually goes with the subject matter that we're going to be addressing today. Again, Surprised by Assurance, A Journey Through the Book of Revelation. Part one today, which is all about vindication, and we're going to continue to talk about that because there's a way that you can go south on that and then a way that's pleasing to the Lord and what we're going to talk about. And then next week, part two, when we're going to look at Assured by Divine Control. So divine vindication today, divine control next week. And all as a way to comfort us, to give us joy and hope, to reassure us, even as the world goes crazy and more so every day, more shootings every day, more strife every day, the economy's heading in all kinds of terrible directions. And, you know, what's going to be the next pandemic, yada, yada, yada. And even as that happens, if your house is built on the rock, then you should be able to withstand those things and not lose hope. And so that's why the book of Revelation is such a great source, not primarily to tell you what to look forward to, what's going to happen in the future, but it can help you with assurance today. That's why we're so excited to have Dr. Greg Stikes back on with BJU Seminary. Again, Greg, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. And I just wanted to revisit, just to make sure our compass is set on true north, that would be pleasing to the Lord. Help us to understand what it means to be vindicated, and then we'll talk about kind of how you discover that in the book of Revelation, then we'll get into the vindication of the Lamb.
Yeah, the vindication idea is just that, you know, we make truth claim about what God has assured us of in the Word, and we're living in a world that is pushing back against that all of the time. In fact, a verse that I think really describes our world that we live in right now that captured my attention recently is Isaiah 5:20, where it says, "Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good." Who call light darkness and darkness light. We're in a time right now where, you know, you're actually looked at as evil because you don't affirm something that the Scripture says is evil. Everything's flipped on its head, which is what Satan always wants to do. And so you're living in a world that's saying, no, you don't have any hope. You think about the times in Scripture where people called out to believers, you know, there's no hope for you in God, Psalm 3, for instance. And all of this has built up over the centuries, but finally, the right is going to be righted. Truth is going to prevail. And it's not that, you know, we get to say, yay, we're on the winning side. It's not
right.
Just good overcoming evil. It's much more profound than that. It's about truth prevailing, both in what God has claimed and what his people have trusted in. And so that gives us incredible hope for today, even though the vindication is still coming. And the Lord wants to steel us against the times with that hope.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, today is June 2nd. It's the second day of what a growing number of people, including the United States Marine Corps, is now celebrating. They put up a picture on their Twitter account, Greg, of, course, quote-unquote Pride Month, and they put a picture up on their Twitter account with a military helmet, and then the military helmet and the band around the helmet and the combat helmet were bullets that were all tipped in the different colors of the rainbow. That's the United States Marine Corps. Woe to those all good, evil, and evil good. It's all flipped upside down. So the vindication, again, is not us having a party and dancing on the graves of the lost when Jesus comes back. It's just it's just kind of folding into the reality that what we've claimed and what we've been taught from the Word of God is actually true and right. And then starting with the vindication, before we're vindicated, we have to look at the vindication of the Lamb. Does Jesus need to be vindicated?
Well, his resurrection obviously vindicates what his claims were on earth. In fact, when he calls his disciples and says, "You will be my witnesses," think of a courtroom witness. Jesus was put on trial, and he was put to death because of false claims against him, and he resurrected, showing that he was right. He was in the right all along, and he calls his witnesses to go forth into the world with this fresh evidence that he is alive and what he claims was true. If we don't have vindication, we don't have the gospel, and if we don't have the gospel, we don't have salvation. And so Jesus Christ was vindicated in the resurrection, but now he is at the Father's throne. And even before the New Testament is over, Peter is encouraging those believers that have never seen Christ themselves, and yet they believe and they rejoice with hope. And that is what we feel as well. Most of the people, you know, before the end of the first century had never seen Jesus, just like we haven't seen him. But one day he will appear. And that's what John says at the beginning of Revelation. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And it will finally be known, every knee shall bow. And that is the great triumphant day of God. And it's interesting, in Revelation, God sends out these calls for people to repent, even at the very end. He doesn't want to judge the world. And when we suffer, we're waiting. We're suffering because we're waiting with God for the judgment to come. So there's a lot of context and nuance in this whole idea of vindication, but it is our great hope, and it does give us the assurance that we need for right now for whatever we're facing.
And again, I mean, from a, you know, from a personal perspective and our own assurance, which is immensely important, especially as the days are getting more challenging and more confusing. And like you referenced with Isaiah, woe to those who call good evil and evil good and replace darkness for light and vice versa. That's exactly where we're at. It's only getting worse. But from a gospel perspective, shouldn't this be something that drives our desire to share? I mean, I had a friend on Facebook Live that just said, hey, I just want to say I tried to tell you, he's talking about unbelievers, you wanted to mock me, so now you see that I wanted to give you a chance. And his heart grieves for that. So the vindication is this, all of a sudden the knowledge when Jesus comes back that, oh man, the truth that I was presented with and that I even knew because I was around the church or around the message is true and I missed it. I mean, that should help drive our gospel intent, shouldn't it?
No, yes. That's exactly right. And you think, you work through Revelation, some of these things, the title of the blog, Surprise, it's not that these things weren't in there, but when you're working through it, you realize, wow, there are things in here that you don't really ever think about. So many times, God is raising up like 144,000. They're going to be people witnessing the gospel all throughout the earth. You've got other witnesses besides that. We know of at least two in chapter 11, the two witnesses. You've got angels flying throughout the whole earth, calling out, repent, turn to God right before the final day of wrath. And there are going to be people who are coming to Christ and finally turning to him in the book of Revelation. God never stops that witness. At the same time, you have these passages where this terrible judgment is coming. People are in pain. And you would think that they would say, okay, we believe now, we understand. But no, they shake their fists. They will not repent. They will not turn. And so, again, this whole vindication, it is a day of wrath for unbelievers, and you cannot escape that. But there's also that great heart of compassion of God that you see in the witness. And, yes, I think that should inform our witness today.
Yeah, absolutely. And as things get darker and more confusing throughout the world, I've said this for several years. We're talking to Dr. Greg Stikes, professor at BJU Seminary. I said, you know, I know sometimes it looks like evil is winning, but evil isn't winning. God is just waiting. And every minute God waits is mercy. And that's all the way up, all the way through the book of Revelation, from the Old Testament to the New to the book of Revelation. God's mercy is front and center until the very last moment. Talking to Dr. Greg Stikes. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. Today, working our way through a two-parter on the book of Revelation, Surprised by Assurance, a journey through the book of Revelation. Part one today, as we're talking about vindication, assured by vindication, the Lamb's vindication, Jesus' vindication, which we were just talking about. And then we'll switch gears and talk about vindication of those who follow the Lamb. That would be those of us that are in Christ. And then next week, we're going to talk about assured by divine control, that there's specific events, that God is actually guiding the whole process. He's the source of all power. He's guiding the specific events that we find in Revelation. So assurance from front to back as we go through this today. And next week with Dr. Greg Stikes, who's one of the professors at BJU Seminary. And I've got the blog post for part one up on Facebook. It's on the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, as well as my personal page. So for personal friends on Facebook, you can find it there. Also, during the Facebook Live today for the show, we've got the post up there as well. So you can read it for yourself and contemplate it. And then anytime we're talking about these blog posts, there's one particular page that our friends at BJU Seminary set up specific to the radio show, where you've got all kinds of resources there that you can access. It's an incredible wealth of wisdom and knowledge down there, not just at the seminary, but also at the university. And you can get to that. That's an easy website to get to. It's just seminary.bju.edu. Any of these educational things, they always have edu at the end. Okay, seminary.bju.edu/radio. seminary.bju.edu/radio, and you're going to land on a page. All the Theology Thursdays we've done since almost a year ago all have a blog post associated with them. So just rich wisdom and knowledge and assurance and help there and joy, all kinds of great things that our friends at BJU Seminary and the university have been sharing with us for a while. So that's all there for you to check out. But today, Surprised by Assurance with Dr. Greg Stikes. And again, Greg, we really appreciate you being here today. Thanks so much.
No problem. Love it. Thanks.
All right, so I'm going to dive back in. I want to talk about vindication of those who follow the Lamb, but just give us a little update on how the school year went for you and what's it like for a seminary professor during the summer.
Well, that sort of depends. Some of us are still teaching classes, so I'm teaching an online class right now, and then another class is going to meet for 1 week in a few weeks here. So life still goes on, actually, and we're doing a lot of rearranging of offices and a lot of some new faculty that are coming on and new staff people. And so we've actually been having we're renovating part of the building. So a lot of exciting things happening here actually right now, and we're really happy about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to try to get down there, maybe not in June, but in July. I'm going to try to come do a Theology Thursday with Renton Rathbun, who's there at the Center for Biblical Worldview. But yeah, I'm excited to see the remodeling that's going there at the main seminary building, and it's just cool to watch the Lord continue to move down there. Coming up on 100 years, the 100th year of anniversary of BJU is coming up in just a couple years, isn't it?
That's right. I came in time to get the 90-year celebration, and I just started thinking about that the other day. That's a few years away. Yeah.
Just a couple years. Just an amazing reality. But again, thank you again for your time and for helping us out with these two blog posts. And we're doing a two-parter. So part one today and then part two we'll do next Thursday. So let's talk about the vindication of those who follow the Lamb, that being the children of God through Jesus Christ. And again, I think sometimes, I mean, I long for this myself, Greg. I'm like, one day I just look forward to the day that the reality of what we profess becomes the reality of everybody, whether they profess it right now or not. And is it wrong for me to look forward to that vindication?
No, not a bit. In fact, you know, I don't know that we really can appreciate, unless we've been, you know, lived in a country on earth right now, like a Muslim country like Yemen or Afghanistan, where, you know, Christians really are in danger. I don't know that we can really appreciate what first century Christianity was really like. And it's, you know, the Lord, the evidence of his wanting to comfort his people is, you know, John, he's under persecution, he's exiled, and the Lord appears to him, and it's the last book of our New Testament, and he wants to tell everybody, look, I'm going to be with you, but hold on, the end is coming, and here's what it's going to be, and it's going to be glorious. And he wants to encourage them because of what they're going through. And as I mentioned a little bit ago here, you know, I can't remember who I was reading, what commentator, but I thought it was really profound that if you read the book of Revelation as if you literally expect that likely you will die as a martyr, then the truth of it and the significance of it really comes off the page. And you catch all of these different things, like in chapter 6 when Jesus is reading out the seal, which show that the end is coming and that everything is going to be fulfilled. There's one of them that kind of puzzles people, but it's not really a judgment. It's the fifth one where John says, I heard the voices of those crying out from under the altar, and this is the altar of sacrifice in the heavenly temple where these martyrs have actually been, you know, have sacrificed themselves for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they're crying out, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And they're told to rest for a while because there's others that are going to join them who will die as martyrs as well. But it's not the only time you see this idea. When the big judgments start coming, the angel has a censer in his hand with a smoke going up from it, and it's the prayers of the saints. And what we realize is that these cries for the Lord to finally avenge the blood of his martyrs is really one of the things that drives the judgment of God upon the earth. It's not just his holiness, but it's also for his people as well. And that truth really comes through very strongly in Revelation, not only here but in other parts as well. So no, I don't think it's wrong to long for that. And it's obviously a biblical idea and something that pleases the Lord because that's what he's doing for us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at it that way, I wanted to ask this question, Greg. We're talking to Dr. Greg Stikes from BJU Seminary today about a revelation and surprised by the assurance we can find there. But I think in terms of the martyrs and the obvious examples, people that suffered unbelievable things since the start of the church and Jesus himself, But what about us? You mentioned this. We kind of can bash ourselves pretty easily, us cushy Westerners. And we're starting to get an increased amount of, I'll put it in air quotes a little bit, persecution. But it's persecution in our context, just kind of being maligned and being pushed to the side. And there's going to be some real cost to be paid in educational facilities and workplaces and stuff like that. Does that count? Is that something that's going to get vindicated as well? Because I think oftentimes we can kind of diminish the quote-unquote suffering we can go through here as Westerners in America in particular. When we look at the martyrs, people that actually were tortured and abused and died for the faith versus us. But the types of things that we experience here in the Western context, does that get vindicated as well, or am I just being a baby?
No, I think that's a really good question. And the way I understand it from just reading through the New Testament, not only Revelation, but in other contexts as well, is that whatever challenges we meet along the path of following God's will and being a witness for Him in this earth, this is God growing us and God showing His love to the world through us. And I don't think we need to belittle, some of the suffering we might go through. There is a reason that God, in His grace, has not allowed our country to experience some of the same persecution that other countries have had. I don't think we need to beat ourselves up for that. I think the world is better off because of the affluence that we've had in America, where a lot of really good people, a lot of Christian people, have filtered those funds over the earth, and the gospel has gone out because of really our ability to be able to fund it. And so there's a purpose in that. And not everybody in the New Testament suffered the same. In fact, John, as far as we know, died of old age, John himself.
Right.
And although he went through some terrible things, probably, he didn't go through some of the same terrible things that others of the apostles did. And so it's just because it's not God's will. But, if it is God's will for intense suffering, His grace is just as evident in that circumstance. We're assured of. And so, those who know how to suffer like Jesus suffered feel themselves doubly blessed that they were worthy to be able to suffer like that. So, no, I don't think we should belittle, like you asked. I think that God has a will in suffering that's different for every single person.
Yeah, and I think that's such a beautiful point that the reality, I'm usually amazed, Greg, that God uses me at all for anything. Because I'm a pretty good student of my own sin, and just like David said, my sin is ever before me. But when it comes to the suffering and the indignities that we can experience here in America as the culture continues to get a little more aggressive about Christianity, I mean, the fact that you experience that at all for being a follower of Jesus Christ, we should all take a moment and go, praise the Lord that I'm even worthy of that. Because that means I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and that's an incredible privilege in and of itself. We're going to pick it up there when we come back. Theology Thursday with Dr. Greg Stikes from BJU Seminary, talking about Surprised by Assurance, A Journey Through the Book of Revelation, talking about vindication today. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. And think about this for a second. We're talking to Dr. Greg Stikes, who's a professor at BJU Seminary. Today's blog post, which we're doing a two-parter, Surprised by Assurance, spit it out, Steve, A Journey Through the Book of Revelation, today talking about divine vindication, and vindication just means that you're shown to be right and that your hope and faith were in the right place all along. And I definitely, my hand is raised on that one. I'm looking forward to some divine vindication. And that's as we wait, as we see the world becoming increasingly more anti-Christian, and as we wait, knowing that vindication is coming should give you some assurance and give you some hope and some peace. In the meantime, and then next week, we're going to talk about assured by divine control, because all of the things that happen throughout the book of Revelation are all under the watchful hand and providence of the God of the Bible. So we'll get lots of assurance about that next week. But today we're talking about vindication. I wanted to go to this part. And again, Greg, I really appreciate you being with us today. And thanks so much for preparing. It's just been wonderful.
Great. Thanks.
I wanted to go to this part. This was in part of the blog. In fact, when God judges the wicked government, and I'm going to tie this together in a second. Known in the prophecy as Babylon, a hideously immoral influence that is, quote, drunk with the blood of saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, that's in Revelation 17. He judges Babylon not only for their sins against him being God, but also on behalf of his own people being us. So I look at this one and go, you know, I often think, does God really care about the little problems we go through as a result of being Christians? But he does. So he judges Babylon in and of itself for what they're doing against him, clearly sinning against the Lord, but also on behalf of his own people. That's really reassuring to me.
Yeah, that was a really incredible little find, because it's just one little part of Revelation 18, actually, where there's this great cry over the destruction of Babylon. Babylon appears to be this influence in this time period before God's final judgment that has control over the world, and yet the beast, who we learn in other parts of Scripture is really the Antichrist, is the bigger government, and the beast and the kings who are with him actually destroy the city of Babylon, whatever that is code for, whatever that influence is during this time period. And they take her down, but it says in chapter 17, it's because God put it into their hearts to do it. And then when the world is lamenting over the downfall of this Babylon, it says that God has given judgment for you against her.
Mm.
Wow. And that is an incredible thing. It is not just the vindication of his own holiness. It's the vindication of his people. And so he does this to show his love for us, and that he will do what he has promised to do all along. So that is an incredible point.
Yeah, and when I somehow just kind of, I guess I just kind of missed that before, and you just mentioned that from Revelation 18:20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her, which again just reminds me that God cares intimately about what happens to me, not just the greater sin against him, but the sins that occur against his people. And that's really reassuring to me. And what do we do with that in the current context, Greg? How do we use that reality of what God said there in Revelation 18 to kind of help us today as we're going through kind of crazy times?
Well, you know, sometimes people think, you know, we just put our hope at the very end, and it doesn't really have any meaning for us here, and we're just going to suffer, and things are just going to be bleak until the very end. You think of Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, it makes this really amazing observation that so many of the Old Testament people who did what God is asking people in Revelation to do, trust in those promises to the end, even though you don't see the promise yet, even though you might die before you see the final vindication. That's what it says in Hebrews 11. All these died, not even having realized the promises in time, but saw them afar off. Mm-hmm. This is a biblical source of hope for God's people. It is supposed to give us trust and assurance that even though things might not go the way we thought they should go for us, and maybe even we suffered more than we thought we were going to suffer, in the end, we are going to be with God and the Lamb forever on the new earth in fellowship with him. And it's not about us. It's not about right now. It's not the Disney World Follow Your Dreams. It's nothing to do with Christianity. You know, it's about what God is doing in the big picture. And if we think spiritually, and we think about what God is doing in the whole earth and the fact that we are actually a part of it,
yeah,
then it really does give us this incredible assurance and hope. And it's not just punting to the end. It's not that. It's that right now, I can have the confidence that my God is completely in control, and eventually he's going to vindicate everything that I've believed in and I've hoped in. And that really is a great assurance.
Yeah, it really is. And so as we kind of, again, consider Revelation while we're talking about this assurance in the present day, I think that's the thing we all have to remember, that the book of Revelation is there, like you said at the beginning, not necessarily or only to kind of show you this roadmap so you can kind of checked. It's like the mile markers as you're driving on vacation. You watch them roll by and you're like, okay, at this mile marker, we have to exit at this mile marker so you know what's coming. In this case, it's just that eventual vindication, which I think there's a song that talks about when your faith becomes your eyes. You know, in the end, everything is realized, and to go back to something we said early on, that kind of, well, in the end, we win, and that kind of sounds trite, but it ultimately obviously is true. But there should be great assurance and peace and all of that as we kind of labor through today's world.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People think about Revelation, and they immediately think about, well, what are the identification of the two witnesses, and what's the mark of the beast? And people can get really agitated about their view of Revelation and so forth. And, you know, one of the things I've discovered in going through, learning to preach of this book to the congregation is that, you can even disagree with other brothers and sisters in Christ about the exact meaning and identification of certain things
right.
in it. But you can't escape the message that's coming through for the Lord's people. And that's an incredible thing, that we can still all come away with the hope and assurance that the Lord wanted, even though we might scrap a little bit about what the exact things mean. And in this series, I haven't disappointed the people as far as, you know, taking some time to explain what this and that might be. But really, that has been a very minor emphasis in the series. The biggest is what God is trying to do for us right now and the assurance he's trying to give to us.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important point because you can get us some pretty fierce and serious back and forths and debates and arguments within the body of Christ, pre-mill, mid-mill, post-mill, I mean, all of the eschatology that we, for some reason, like to fight over. But ultimately, this kind of rises above all of that to not look at the sequence of events or what happens when, but what happens eventually, and the vindication is such a big part of that, that the assurance and the peace that comes from it is far superior than figuring out which particular view is actually the accurate one.
Right. And you read these passages that are sort of oases in the book where you've got the martyrs, some of them have been beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the preaching of the gospel, and they're standing with the Lamb, and there's no more pain. There's no more hunger. There's no more thirst. It is an incredible day, and that is what the Lord is trying to get us to focus on as we go through what he's taking us through now. And I'll tell you, I'm always preaching to families where, yes, they're thinking about persecution in the world and so forth, but, you know, they've got their own issues that are going right now with their kids or with financial pressures and that sort of thing. And Revelation speaks to that as well. Because, again, anything we're doing along the way of serving God and trying to follow him, any of those obstacles God puts in our path, because he's not trying to give us a primrose path. He's trying to keep us on our knees. Then that is what he's asking us to suffer and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who went before us. And so Revelation, read some other books in the New Testament alongside of Revelation, like Hebrews, and other books come alive as well.
Yeah, that's
It is truly surprising what the Lord is telling us.
That's so awesome. We got about a minute and a half left. Give us a little preview of what we're going to be talking about next week, part two of Surprised by Assurance, Assured by Divine Control.
We always know, God's in complete control and so forth, and of course he's making all these claims of what's going to happen, but there are some really surprising, specific things he says to remind us that even though Satan is doing things, even though the beast and the false prophet are doing things, the verbiage always comes back to God is allowing these things to happen. He is under, everything is under as ultimately what he wants to do. And somehow he's doing it. We don't know how he's doing it, but somehow he's doing it so that everything comes out to exactly what he has promised for us. And these are just two of many lessons that we've been learning in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we'll pick it up there next week on Theology Thursday. Dr. Greg Stikes will be back with us to go part two on this Surprised by Assurance, a journey through the book of Revelation. Assured by Vindication today and then Assured by Divine Control next Thursday. Greg, thank you so much, my friend, for being a part of the show today. We really appreciate your wisdom and helping
thank
us lead
so
down
much.
This road. All right, you're welcome. We'll talk to you again real soon. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. This is Steve Noble. on the Steve Noble Show. And yes, God willing, I'll be with you again tomorrow. Theology Thursday, always a great swim in the deep end of the pool. And that's why we do it. I always get blessed by it and challenged by it. And I'm always learning. It's an unending course, this thing we call Christianity, walking with the Lord. Always, always more to learn, always more growth to be had. So we'll look forward to doing that again next Thursday. I'll be back again tomorrow. A lot going on this month. I'm going to take pride in the fact that I can call Jesus my Lord and Master. I don't know about you. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.